Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score. Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay? Next question.
Thank
next question.
Thank
next
you
question.
Very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Always a joy to talk to Coach Wannstedt. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dave.
I am doing good, fellas. Yes, doing real good. You know, obviously, the Bears are rolling, and that's exciting. And got a little Monday Night Football coming up. So things are getting to that point in the season where you're starting to see a slight divide, in my mind, between the real contenders and the pretenders, as we say. So it's exciting time of year.
Dave, I noticed at Bet Rivers that the number on the Bears, it opened at 6.5. It's down to 5.5. This is sort of a thing we're seeing every week. The Bears are usually not favored in any game, and they're usually kind of a big underdog. And then usually by the end of the week, it kind of comes down to more of a reality. Why don't people like the Bears? Why do you think the odds makers keep disbelieving what they're seeing?
No, I think because if you look at the NFL, all you know the storylines every week, if you think about it, offense scoring more points than before, more touchdowns, quarterbacks putting up bigger numbers in the history of the game, on and on and on. Everything is about the scoring. Everything is about the offense. That's the talk of the NFL. And you do look at the Bears' offensive statistics, obviously, and they're not there. So I think that's probably the deep underlining feeling that people just say, well, when are they going to, you know, stumble, and when are they not going to play great defense? There's going to be games this year where the defense struggles, and when that happens, will the offense be able to pick it up? Maybe this is the week. So that would be my first thought. But you know, I was thinking about this all week and reading things and listening to you guys, and I used to tell my team just, hey guys, we don't have to be the best team tomorrow. We got to be the best team for 3 hours when we are playing on Sunday. I mean, and that's kind of the thought that came to my mind when we talk about this Bears team. It doesn't matter what today. We don't have to be the best team today. We don't have to be the best team, you know, Tuesday morning after the game. But Monday night against the Rams for 3 hours, you know, we've got to play the best football. We got to be the best team, and it's a team game. And I think that's kind of the indicative of how the Bears have been winning, to be honest with you.
Well, and every coach and every player, Dave, wants to do what Nick Foles said. They'd rather win ugly than lose pretty, and that's what the Bears are doing. And I think when you talk about approaching midseason and figuring out who the contenders are and who the pretenders are, Can the Bears, are they more contender than pretender with an offense averaging 21 points a game? Because the only five teams that have scored fewer points than the Bears in the league have five combined wins among those five teams. So which are the Bears, contender or pretender?
Well, they're a contender. There's no question. I mean, they're off to a good enough start. They've came out of the blocks and they've taken care of business. This defense is good enough to get them into the playoffs. Now, when you get into the playoffs, you know, Nick Foles proved it to us when he was at Philadelphia. It's the same Nick Foles. I mean, when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. But this defense is good enough to win another, you know, I mean, with the extra playoff team, if you think about it. And they're good enough to win the division. I still think Green Bay is the best team in the division. I really do. I hate to say that, but that's what I believe, being honest. But the Bears are definitely a playoff team, and they're going to play the Packers twice, so we'll find out. But to answer your question, absolutely. The defense is good. And, you know, the one thing, and let me just make this point about the defense, and you guys know my relationship with Chuck Pagano, but I look at this stuff real close, and I look at the teams around the league, and I watch that Tampa Bay-Green Bay game, and I watch the Bucs defense when they played the Bears. And the one thing that's happening here, everyone would love to see Chuck Pagano call 10,000 blitzes, excuse me, get six sacks, you know, and all that stuff. That's what gets the fans going. Well, he's playing it smart. And this is when you got an assistant coach like Chuck Pagano that's been a head coach. He gets the big picture. He knows in the back of his mind, and I've been in his chair. I have been there. And said to myself, I would love to blitz these guys and be more aggressive. But if we are and we give up a quick score because our rookie corner or someone gets beat, we give up a quick score and we lose this game, in the back of my mind, I knew that we offensively were not there yet, then it's on me. So I think Chuck, what he's doing with the defense is really good, guys. You know, they're not pressuring much. They're not giving up big plays. They're not giving up touchdowns. And they're playing really, really good defense. Great defense. Great defense. And so I think that, you know, for Bear fans, I think that's worth really thinking about a little bit when you get, say, God, I wish we would be blitzing more with Khalil Mack and on and on and on. Well, there's a reason why they're not.
And I agree with everything you're saying, Dave. I think that the struggle seems to be, and this isn't just with the Bears, but this is around the league, whatever happened to pass interference and the way you call that, it's almost as if the officials are confused about the rules somehow. I mean, it just seems like the Bears are getting whistled for some of those calls that strictly are not pass interference, but they might look like that, the naked eye. They couldn't get it right with replay. How are they getting it right here in live time? It seems like they're not.
I know. It's you're 100% right. And, boy, with the officiating and the calls, I mean, particularly the judgment calls like that, I don't have an answer. I mean, that's truly you know, you try to study the officials before the game and you see what crews are throwing more pass interference penalties. I used to do that. You know, I had one coach that we used to track the officials. Okay, hey, this crew, we've got a group that's really going to watch this stuff and call it close, guys, and go in and talk to your defensive backs and linebackers and say, we can't take a chance. There's other weeks where they don't, where you can be more aggressive. You know, it's tough. I don't have an answer for it, but it has been really, it could have been costly for the Bears. There's no question.
Dave, you're a coach, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this one, but I do wonder, when you have an offensive line as limited and as injured as the Bears, in fairness, and they're really not playing at a very high level at all, from a coaching perspective, schematically, with personnel groupings, however you want to look at it, how can you protect, or how easy or difficult is it to protect an offensive line by either the plays you call, the personnel groupings you use, or just how you approach your game plan?
Well, Tony Wise, he's coming up here next week to visit. So maybe we'll have him jump on. But I used to walk into the offensive meeting rooms if we were playing a real good defense And I would say, hey, I hope we got some plays in there that we can run it. We don't have to block anybody. And then I would walk out, and oh, he would go berserk. He would follow me down to my office and, you know, and with his cup of coffee shaking and say, whoa, and I'd say, relax, Tony. I'm halfway kidding, but I'm halfway being serious. And Matt Nagy's got a lot of those plays. I mean, you're talking about the quick bubble screens and all that type of stuff. You don't have to block many people on those plays. You know, it's really one-on-one out there. Somebody gets in somebody's way. if you're getting the ball to the right guy, he'll make somebody miss. So there are plays like that. Yes, to answer your question, have I been in that situation? Absolutely. And, you know, so it can happen. And Matt Nagy, I mean, I think that's what it's one of his strengths. He can come up with plays that, you know, that can take advantage of an offensive line. I think it struggles a little bit. You just got to be careful that's not your foundation. I mean, not your foundation, but if you got a lot of that stuff every week, it kind of takes the, you know, if you're an offensive lineman or if you're an offensive line coach, it kind of takes your stinger away. It takes the energy out of you. You're saying, you know, boy, they don't really think that we can pound this football and run it, you know. So I think you got to pick and choose when and how you do it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to see that Kansas City ran the ball the way they did yesterday. And we know that that Matt Nagy coached there and is a Andy Reid a disciple, and I'm sure he was at some point having an eyeball on that. And maybe that is, permission for him to run the ball more. I get it. They didn't run it effectively. But, you know, we're seeing weird game management decisions, Dave, where at the end of the game, and I understand, you know, you want to try a play or you change the formation to a point where you're not going to run the ball. That's what I didn't understand. Why make it obvious which direction you're going in? And that's how you get incompletions, in my opinion.
Two thoughts. One, you're right. And I thought of, you know, a third down and two, third down and three, would Vrabel or would Bill Belichick or some of these defensive-minded coaches, are they going to throw the ball? No, probably not. You know, not unless there's a gimme play there, a gimme play. They're going to run the ball. So I think it's a matter of your offensive mentality. And we know that, you know, that Matt likes to throw the ball there. But here's a question to you guys. Do you think that Matt Nagy and the offensive coaches are capable of doing what Kansas City did last night? Do you honestly think that they saw the linebackers were playing, and I noticed that the second snap, I'm sitting here saying, geez, those guys, usually your linebackers, you put your toes at four and a half at the most. That's what we did for all those years, and that's pretty standard. But they were 5 and 6 yards deep, and I think what they were doing was they were trying to get themselves in position where they could play underneath soft coverage, which had given Mahomes trouble in the past. But I wonder, and I throw to you guys, do you think that we would do the same thing? You think Matt would run the ball like Kansas City did?
No, he would not commit to it because he can't, Dave. You're not going to execute enough blocks to be able to run the ball 46 times if you're the Chicago Bears because you don't have an offensive line that could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the thought that was going. It's funny you say that, Molly, about, you know, obviously Andy Reid doing it and Matt, you know, being one of his disciples, and I was sitting there. That's a thought that was going through my mind. Are we capable of doing that? Arizona, right. You know how many passes? They whoop on the Cowboys last night. You know how many passes that Kyler Murray threw? 8 passes in the whole game against the Cowboys. Now, how the heck do you do that? I mean, I know how they did it. I watched the game, but I mean, think about that, guys.
They picked up the fumbles, I think, is how they started doing it.
8 passes on the road against the Cowboys and score 38 points. You know, now, wow. So, I mean, yeah, there's teams that will do that. And you saw that game with Tennessee with Vrabel. I mean, he wasted no time. And, you know, 4th and 2, game on the line, right? Over here we go. What are we going to do? I think it was 4th down. And he hands out the lead that they ran about 10 times in a row. They ran it again to Derrick Henry, and he walked in the end zone. So different philosophies. Yep, absolutely.
Dave, we gotta get a quick timeout. We want to come back with you and talk about some college football. Want to ask you about the Big Ten starting up and what that means. A big game for Lovie Smith going up to Wisconsin. Should be a lot of fun. Let's take a quick minute. We'll be right back with Coach Wanstead. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Dave Wanstead hanging out with Mully and Hall.
Mully and Hall, always a joy to talk to Coach Wanstead, and he is continuing our conversation on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. And Dave, we were teasing before the break the return of the Big Ten. What does that mean exactly? I mean, we're seeing what's going on around college football and the number of positive tests and delayed games and postponements, and yet we're seeing teams are playing, and now here comes the Big Ten. They'll be starting this weekend.
Yeah, well, obviously the delay was questioned on both sides a little bit, I think, but they are starting. I think they've had enough time now to see how the other universities have handled it. I know the testing in the Big Ten, just for our listeners, you know, in a lot of these conferences, they're testing three times a week. The Big Ten's testing every day. You know, so they're being a little bit more stringent with their COVID policies, I think, than some of the other conferences. But it's great to be back. Trust me, you know, because the kids are on campus, the students are going. I mean, this is another avenue to look forward to. It's another release other than to talk about, obviously, you know, the COVID stuff and the election. I mean, this is I think it's fantastic for Big Ten fans, and we get it started this weekend. You're right, Friday night, Illinois, Wisconsin, you know, two local teams for us here. Lovie Smith, just for our listeners, a 10-second here update. You know, he's got his quarterback, returning quarterback, the kid at Peters, the kid that transferred from Michigan. He's back, and he's got a big receiver, the top receiver that transferred in, I don't have his name in front of me, from USC. So he's got that going for him. Wisconsin, their returning starting quarterback, Jack Cohen, if you remember him, he got hurt in preseason about two or three weeks ago. He's out. So they're going to have a new starting quarterback. But Wisconsin, as they always have, they've got eight guys back on defense from last year. So they're going to be really strong on defense, and that's what's going to have to carry them early. So it's a Friday night game, and it should be exciting, you know, for Big Ten fans and obviously for the local people here.
So, Dave, coaches are going to want to have this as normal as possible, and players are probably going to feel a sense of familiarity back on the field, back in this environment. But without fans in the stands, and just given what's going on, there might be some different approaches. You might see some things you're not used to seeing, maybe some concentration lapses. Do you expect a fluky Big Ten season, or do you expect one to kind of hold the form like it usually does?
Yeah, well, they, you know, I can tell you this, you know, obviously we all know that they don't have the preseason games. They never have. But talking to some of these college coaches here, getting ready for some of my Big Ten stuff, which I'll start this Wednesday, by the way, 5 o'clock our time, BTN. But I've talked to enough college coaches that I do know that they've even limited their scrimmages. So you're right. The contact has not been there, and I think the teams that have the strongest defenses and can run the ball should be at a little bit of an advantage, obviously, starting off the season. I tell you what, I'm real curious to see for our Northwestern fans here, you know, just the update. They have a quarterback that transferred in, fifth-year transfer from Indiana, and his name is Peyton Ramsey. And this kid is an operator. I like him. This could make a huge difference, I think, in the Northwestern season. Peyton Ramsey, in fact, to this day, I think he has the all-time best completion percentage in Indiana history. That's where he transferred from down there at the Hoosierland and IU. So they've got an established quarterback that's played and can make some plays for him. So hopefully that helps Fitzy a little bit and solves the problem that he's had to deal with the last couple of years.
Dave, it's pretty extraordinary when you see the college football rankings, and the number two team in the country is Ohio State with the 0-0 record. And I'm not arguing that, but it's almost as if they just set up the standings waiting for Ohio State to start playing. It's pretty peculiar.
Yeah, it is. It's. I wouldn't look at those standings. Give it a month to kind of settle itself down a little bit, and then I think the standings may have a little bit more validity to it. But Ohio State, you know, they're going to be the team to beat. And I, you know what, I'm a Michigan fan. I mean, because of Jim Harbaugh, and I know a lot of people up there. But, you know, I like Penn State. Is everyone talks about Ohio State and Michigan. That's the two teams. But I think it's Ohio State and Penn State. I really do. I mean, you know, they got their quarterback back, and Penn State's going to be a really good team this year.
In terms of surprises, Dave, you look at Michigan State and Mel Tucker. A lot of Bears fans remember Mel Tucker from his days as defensive coordinator, but he comes over from Colorado, and you remember the controversy surrounding that. What do you expect from him or any other team that might surprise in the Big Ten?
Yeah. Boy, Mel Tucker's in a tough position. One, he got hired late, okay? Then you get into the COVID scenario. So he was limited there, and he doesn't have a returning quarterback. It's a three-man battle up there for who's going to be the starter at quarterback. Two of the kids really haven't played much. So he's, you know, he's fighting a little bit of an uphill battle starting off. It'll be interesting to see how they respond up there. But, you know, in the other team, I mean, the first Saturday, this Saturday, we got Ohio State and Nebraska. And you talk about Scott Frost, and we know he was a great player at Nebraska, and we know he did a great job at Central Florida, undefeated. And now he's going into his third year at Nebraska, and he hasn't had a signature win, you know. So I think, and I like Scott Frost. I think he's a really good coach at Nebraska. That's who Ohio State opens up with this Saturday in Columbus. So, you know, you talk about some surprise teams, David. I don't know. Nebraska, sooner or later, has got to do something if it's going to work.
I had the misfortune of watching the Notre Dame-Louisville game last weekend, just out of boredom, I guess. But it was so uninspired, Dave. And they even, you know, Notre Dame had a break, and we understand everything that's going on. But they've got Clemson coming in a couple of weeks. I got to tell you, they were the number four team in the country. Louisville was awful. And I know they've got some seniors on the team. But it seemed like the greatest challenge was just getting up for a game somehow. They didn't seem overly ready to play, talking about the Irish. They didn't seem overly enthusiastic. The crowd, there's a limited crowd there. They didn't seem like they were that into it. It was just this weird, and I'm sure this is just the situation that you're dealing with, but it's something you're going to have to deal with as a coach, just kind of motivating your team and getting your team to self-motivate.
I can tell you this, Notre Dame better be motivated this week, because you know where they go, to my Pitt Panthers. They go to Pitt. No, now here's the only Pitt's the first time they're going to allow fans in there. There's going to be about 5,500 fans in Heinz Field there in Pittsburgh where they play, where the Steelers play. And Pitt's defense is very good. Trust me, as good as any of them. And they lost their quarterback a week ago. And they got a kid that transferred in, so we'll see how he does. But Pitt, I know Pitt's had this Notre Dame game circled for a while, so it's really going to be a good one, and I think it's going to be worth watching. I really do.
So, Dave, Fitz released his depth chart the other day, and there are a couple players missing. They decided to opt out. Every school in the Big Ten, frankly, every school in college football is going to be dealing with players who make that decision. So put yourself back in the head coach's office. You're sitting in the chair, and you're across the desk from a – you know, 18 to 22-year-old student-athlete who wants to make that decision. What's that conversation like, and what's the role of the football coach in that situation where somebody, you know, is debating whether or not to play this season in kind of the miniature form or shortened version, or to make a decision not to play for whatever reason?
Yeah, at that level, usually every decision I had like that, when I had players opt out for and to go to the NFL early. You know, it's a different scenario. I get that, but it's the same type of conversation. Usually in college, different than the NFL, the parents are involved. You know, somebody's involved that's talking to the kid on why he's doing this. And I think every one of these college coaches are just saying, hey, this is our protocol. This is how we're going to keep you safe. This is what we're going to do in the facility. So I don't know if these coaches have to convince the players as much as they have to convince the parents, the mother, the dad, the who's ever the guardian. I mean, I think that probably has as big an influence, and possibly some of these kids may have had a bad situation where a family member, passed away or something. I mean, God forbid, but you don't know what the history of these players are. And so you got to be obviously sensitive about it, and you just try to talk to the kid, hear his side, hear his story, tell him what you can do to try to do everything you can to keep him safe, and then he's got to make a decision.
One of the real shocks in college football, Dave, and I know this is not the Big Ten, but Alabama managing to win without Nick Saban. And there was this idea that they were somehow inspired by his COVID-19, and he was asymptomatic and is apparently fine. But what was your take on that whole thing? The way, I mean, is that a team disappointing, or is that a team in Alabama that found its way despite being a big underdog?
Yeah, no, Alabama, they've got so much talent. And the quarterback, I mean, he's already thrown more touchdown passes than half those guys here. Jones, his name is. He's going to be a great player, or he is a great player. I don't know. Teams like that sometimes, and they were playing Georgia last week. So, right. I mean, if there's ever a big game to get up for, you don't need extra motivation. But, Nick, obviously your head coach, who they believe in him, they love him, they went to school there because of that belief, and all of a sudden he's sick and he has it, and Nick's in his late 60s, don't know what course this virus is going to take on people. So I'm sure that there initially was shock, and then the gates open and he comes walking in. So, yeah, it was I could see where it would be emotional for their team in a good way.
All right, Dave, thank you. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. Good stuff.
Okay, guys. Talk to you. Enjoy it.
That is Coach Wanstead. Always a joy to talk to him. Yeah, I mean, they thought – did you see the line change on that game? That line changed 2 points because of the head coach, and then lo and behold, none of it mattered.
Yeah, Alabama's pretty good. They're pretty fast. They're pretty dangerous. They took care of Georgia. I did not expect that to happen.
I thought Georgia was better than that, honestly.
Yeah, I thought that so too. I think it's just underscored. I know it's Alabama and Georgia, but I think things are going to happen this college football season in the Big Ten and elsewhere that maybe you don't see coming, even more unpredictable than usual, just because there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding some of these programs, a lot of stuff we're never going to know about, but I just expect the unexpected.
All right, let's get to Mr. Unexpected. He's Kevin Zipak, and he's going to surprise us with a scoreboard update.
It's actually the same one I've been reading all morning, so it's not a surprise.
Well, but I was hoping. Sorry. I thought maybe you were doing some work. I don't know.
That would be a surprise. Yeah.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Morning, Mike.
What's going on, Mike? Guys? How are you?
Well, I am a little bit miffed this morning, and I spit out my coffee earlier. I get it that your power rankings have the Seahawks and the Titans and the Steelers, 1, 2, 3. Okay, they haven't lost. I even get the Chiefs and the Ravens because they were highly thought of to begin. But how can you have the Packers over the Bears? It wounds us deeply.
You get your chance soon enough. November 29, Sunday Night Football, NBC. You get a chance to beat the Packers head-to-head. And before then, the next three games, kind of challenging for the Bears. Rams, Saints, Titans. So, prove it. That's what I always say. When people complain that their team should be higher, prove it. Usually there's a challenge right around the corner.
You're exactly right, Mike. They have an opportunity to do that. But until that happens, though, this has played right into – Matt Nagy in every football coach's hands. Nobody respects the Bears. Everybody's wondering, are they as good as their record? Everybody's kind of getting oversensitive locally, like, oh, my gosh, you don't believe in the Bears. Meanwhile, Hallis Hall, they're loving this because that's the way you build camaraderie, and the Bears have that sort of something going, especially on defense. The swagger's back.
Yeah, and, you know, this does line up perfectly for a coach because you don't have to worry about your guys getting a big head because nobody's pumping them up. There's nothing to read. You're reading your press clippings. There are no press clippings. The press clippings are they aren't very good. So they don't get ahead of themselves, and you have ammunition to apply a chip on the shoulder. It's the perfect outcome. And here they are at 5-1, and who knows what happens the next few weeks. But when you look at their remaining schedule, if they take care of business the way they should and the games they should win, that's at least 5-5, which means 10-6, which means playoffs. Now, I'm sure they want to do much better than that. They'd like to win the division. They have a chance to do it. But they're already in great shape. That's what I always say, September, October, those wins are money in the bank. You can't take them away. And right now, you can be a 500 team the rest of the way and go 10-6. And I think any Bears fan would have taken that in August and run to the bank with it. They're not going to be happy with 5-5 the rest of the way, but they would have been thrilled in August with 10-6 if they'd known that's where it was heading.
I was surprised at how mortal the Packers appeared when they played Tampa, a team that the Bears beat recently. And they had the 10-0 lead, and then it was, you know, all the points avalanche against them. And certainly maybe you can argue that there were more weapons available to Tom Brady. But it seemed like he was throwing the ball to his tight end out of habit. I don't know. It was a very peculiar game, and we saw Aaron Rodgers kind of lose it a couple times. And Dominican Sue, we know he's going to take the gratuitous shot when he gets the opportunity, and that infuriated Rodgers.
Yeah, and look, I think what happened was Rodgers got rattled, plain and simple. And it was the pick six, which was so uncharacteristic for Rodgers. And then the second interception came on what I think was an uncalled instance of pass interference on Carlton Davis, who was wrapped around Devontae Adams and making contact on the front end when the ball popped up into the air and was picked off. And then the floodgates just opened. It really is amazing how quickly a couple of plays can change the complexion of a game. And it really is, when you look back at it, a couple of plays here and there, and then the hounds were unleashed on Aaron Rodgers, and to see him get knocked around the way he did, that just doesn't happen. And it was Sue in his face, and it was just something that we're not used to seeing with the Packers, but at the same time, there's a defect in this organization under Matt LaFleur where when they pack it up and go on the road for a big game, last year at the Chargers, it's like they didn't even get off the plane. They went to San Francisco twice last year, got embarrassed both times. Za'Darius Smith was with us at the Super Bowl and said that guys just weren't ready to play in that NFC Championship game. I mean, there is something missing when they take the operation on the road for a big game like this, and they better figure out what it is, because at some point they're going to have to go on the road for a big game, and they're going to have to win it if they want to try to get home games in the playoffs. And it really was stunning. When they lose big, and this one got out of hand, and I'm sure Bears fans love to see it, but you know, the Packers are a team that plays well from ahead, but once they get behind, they just can't will their way back into it.
Mike, I totally understand why Le'Veon Bell would pick the Chiefs. I mean, to go from the Jets to the Chiefs, he won the football lottery. What I have a harder time envisioning is, okay, even though the Chiefs ran 46 times last night, where are the carries going to go to Le'Veon Bell? I mean, who's going to get the ball less, and does that make much sense for an offense that can do pretty much whatever it wants now?
Well, I think it was funny, to say the least, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire rediscovered the form that we saw in week one now that Le'Veon Bell has shown up. And part of it, hey, if you can apply the proverbial red-hot poker to the rear end of Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get him running harder because he knows he's going to have competition for touches, good. But I think that's what it comes down to. More guys in the rotation. I think Darrell Williams is a guy who ends up playing less or not at all. And Le'Veon Bell's going to have to hold his weight. You know, last year they had LeSean McCoy after he was cut by the Bills on Labor Day weekend, and he became unfavored by the time the season was winding to a conclusion. He didn't even dress for the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl. So if Le'Veon Bell's playing well, he'll play. He'll get touches. And the question that I have about the Chiefs, will they commit to the run on a regular basis, or was last night just a bad weather, good matchup. Bills can't stop the run. Let's go forward with that approach. And will they go back to throwing the ball more when they go to Denver this weekend and in other games beyond? That's the real question. Is it a permanent change, or was it a one-time thing?
I thought it was a cutesy moment on Monday Night Football when they showed the photo of a toddler, Ezekiel Elliott, and he's wearing the T-shirt that says, be nice to me because I might be rich and famous someday. And then, of course, you know, you're thinking, wow, how prescient. And then he's just dropping the ball and spotting an opponent a 14-point lead and benched in game, at least for a little while. That is a lot of fumbles that he's suffering this year. Any idea what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, here's one of the issues. First, the offensive line isn't as good as it used to be. And this is the chicken and the egg question for every team that has a great running back. You need to ask yourself, do I have myself a Barry Sanders that is going to get 1,000 yards no matter who we trot out there to block for him? Or do I have a guy who's only going to have great performances when he gets great blocking? And you never know. You never know until you have to play some games with a patchwork offensive line, and all of a sudden your great running back isn't so great, and it's too late because you've given him a huge contract. The other thing, too, is, and somebody emailed me this point, and I'd like to think I would have thought of it on my own, but it's gotten into his head. And we've heard all the time about athletes seeing sports psychologists. I really do think he needs to talk to someone who can help him get this out of his head, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, don't think about elephants. The more you say it, the more you think about elephants. He's thinking about fumbling. And I don't know whether he needs to do the Tiki Barber high and tight. Remember when he started doing that and cured his fumbling issues? I don't know if it's a way you carry the ball problem, but it's definitely in his head. And the other thing, too, is it's in the heads of the opponents. So they have even more reason to try to do the old peanut punch and knock it out, because they know he's got concerns about fumbling, and they know he's susceptible to fumble, and they know that maybe they're going to get lucky if they even try harder to force a fumble. So this could be an avalanche for Ezekiel Elliott. And it's good they got him out of the game to get him back under control yesterday. But they need to, of all the things they need to worry about, and there are plenty, they need to get his head right on this issue of worrying about fumbling, because I think it's going to lead to more fumbles if they don't get it fixed.
Boy, Mike, the New York media is going to miss Adam Gase when he eventually gets fired. The latest drama with him and Greg Williams going at each other to the point where Adam Gase was complaining about Greg Williams during a production meeting before the game. Where's that headed, and how surprising was that developed the little rift that we see between Williams and Gase?
Well, look, here's the example that I shared with someone in the league. When you go to the dog pound and you pick up a dog that has a history of biting, you can't be upset when you bring that dog home and it bites you. And that's Greg Williams. I mean, is anyone surprised that Greg Williams would do something objectionable, that he would do something antisocial, that he would do something contrary to the notion of a functioning football team? I'm surprised the guy's still in the NFL after everything that went down in New Orleans. It's amazing to me. Remember his boasts about having all these job offers that, who's ever offered to make him a head coach since the time he last was a head coach in the NFL? And I just think there's a toxic nature to that personality. He can't help himself. He took shots at the offense at a time when the Jets were getting ready to play the game that I think provided their last best chance to win before the bye week, when, unless this really is the most dysfunctional organization in sports history, Gase will be gone and Williams presumably will take over. Although at this point, Williams may have disqualified himself from being the interim head coach. I don't know who gets the whistle if Gase goes at the bye week, but they've got 3 games left and they're going to have to decide who they turn to. And maybe it won't be Williams based upon him being the guy that he's pretty much always been.
Mike, we had a fun conversation this morning when we talked about this idea, and a lot of people are hoping that Matt Nagy somehow relinquishes play calling duties, which I don't see that ever happening. And we were discussing why, and we got into the draft stuff and the idea of Cliff Kingsbury sitting in Architectural Digest, and then Matt Nagy was sitting in his basement where the wallpaper, it was basically, had taken all of his play sheets and hung them up on the wall all the way around the room. And when you remember that, you remember how much the guy loves calling his plays and how every play is sacred. And just as sure as Bill Belichick's going to be sitting at your grandmother's table for his draft, Matt Nagy is going to be calling plays.
Yeah, and look, the Bears are 5-1. I loved the Nick Foles press conference after Sunday's win. He was so animated. He was so passionate. He reminded me of the guy who orders decaf and accidentally brought him regular. I mean, he was so fired up, and it's just such a great attitude. And it gets back to what we talked about at the beginning. When everyone is like, yeah, 5-1, it's the Bears. They just keep going out and doing whatever they have to do to win football games. And Foles has it nailed, and he's a great presence for that team. And, you know, hey, they're 5-1. Why should they change anything at this point? So Nagy will keep calling plays. Foles will keep getting it done. He'll keep being that guy who's streaky, who, and it's funny, when you see him in a zone, he wants to get as many plays called as possible and get as much of it as he can before it cools off. But I like where the Bears are. And, you know, they're number 8 in the power rankings, guys. It's not like there's a huge gap between them and the Packers. They're just one spot behind. And to be in the top 10 at this point of the season, I would have never dreamed. Of all the teams currently in the top 10, I never would have dreamed the Bears would be there.
Good stuff, Mike.
Mike, thank you.
All right, see you guys.
That is hysterical. Would you have guessed it, David? Top 10?
No, I don't think so. I've been very I'm very surprised they're a top 10 team in the NFL. But he's on something with that Nick Foles thing, and we don't need to overstate it or overrate him. But the word he used was presence. And when you go from a quarterback who used to parrot what the head coach says to a quarterback who now has the head coach parroting what he says, it tells you why the Bears might be where they are.
There's more just Nags and I talking. I mean, I've known Nags for a while.
That's the greatest nickname ever. All right, we're going to bring in Dan Bernstein next. We'll talk to
Speaking
our
of
colleague
Nags.
And friend. He's not a horse. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.